Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. We started a study last time of the molding of a man, how God was developing David into a young man after his own heart. We talked about God giving him some tests, the test of exaltation, being exalted in front of all the people after he killed Goliath, then the test of submission, as he was placed underneath King Saul's leadership, but then King Saul became very jealous and even began to try to take his life. But David responded with humility, and David learned lessons concerning trusting in men, but to put his trust in God instead. Now, let's look at the third test, and that's the test of affection. David developed a very strong relationship with King Saul's son. His name was Jonathan. Now, how we can praise the Lord for the friends that God sends to us to minister to us in times of need. Because you'll see in chapter 17, when David came out to see how the battle was going, Eliab, his older brother, was making fun of him and was jealous that David was there. You see, Eliab knew that David had already been anointed to be the next king of Israel, and he was angry and he was jealous. And so he made fun of him, he ridiculed him. But David refused to pick up the fight and fight with his own brother. But he lost a relationship with his brother in the morning. But by nightfall, he had won a friend that would actually stick closer than a brother. And his name was Jonathan. You know, every person needs at least one such friend. And I'm thinking, you know, to have one, you've got to be one. And David was that kind of a friend, and so was Jonathan. Now, we see that there must be a willingness to sacrifice. And that's exactly what Jonathan did. He was willing to sacrifice whatever he had for his new friend. Do you remember it says that he gave him his coat and he gave him his robe and his garments and his sword and his bow and his girdle? A willingness to sacrifice. Jonathan was basically saying, I believe you're going to be the next king of Israel. I believe you'll follow my dad. And I want to be your humble assistant. And as a result of that, he didn't want David to be dressed shabbily in the robes of a shepherd. He wanted people to see David and think of him as a future king. And so he gave him his clothes, a willingness to sacrifice. Wow, what a joy it is to have a friend who's willing to sacrifice to meet some of our needs. And then in chapter 19, there was a loyal defense. Because Jonathan realized that his dad was jealous of David and was trying to kill David and even tried to get all of his family members to kill David. But that's where Jonathan stepped in. In the first five verses of 1 Samuel 19, it says that he stepped in and pleaded for David's life from his own dad. Now, he could have seen David as a rival, as King Saul did. But no, there was a tremendous godly relationship that the Lord had developed. And then we see that he was a consistent encouragement. When David was on the run, he often went out to strengthen him. In chapter 23, verses 14 to 18, he became the source of his encouragement. But you'll notice there in chapter 24 that Jonathan's encouragement for David was only in God. That's in 1 Samuel 23 and verse 16. Only in God. Oh man, what a friend. And the Bible tells us that Jonathan was every inch a man. In chapter 14, he talks about taking on a whole garrison of Philistines with the help of just an armor bearer. And he was able to accept criticism from other people that didn't like the way he did it. Every inch a man. But he stepped back and he took second place when David stepped on the scene. What a fantastic story of friendship. But David still had to accept the limits of this close friendship. Because Jonathan never chose to leave his dad and join David in the difficulties that he faced. You remember when David had to flee to the wilderness? Remember when David had to flee for his own life and live out in the wilderness for probably 12, 13 years? Where was Jonathan? He was not with him. He was still living back in the palace with his dad. I wonder if David was disillusioned a bit about this. Oh, but remember the lesson number two? Don't put your trust in man, any man. Put it in God. You know, I may be speaking to some folks this morning that have put their trust in somebody, and that trust has been shattered. Maybe you've been disillusioned by misplaced trust. Maybe God is molding your character and molding your life as a result of having to look to God and God alone. Don't begrudge that. Rejoice in that. Because you may lose a girlfriend or a boyfriend or your best friend or whomever it may be. But God is seeking to develop you into a person after His own heart. And so He uses relationships to do that. The test of affection. And then the fourth test would be the test of opposition. Saul versus David. The price of popularity was very great because the more popular David became, the more hated he became by King Saul. Analyzing what others say can often change a person's attitude toward us, and that's exactly what happened with Saul. He listened to what everybody was saying, and his attitude of love and appreciation for David turned into jealousy. Jealousy. I wonder if King Saul was sad that maybe he didn't fulfill the expectations of the people for their king. He was there when he heard them say, "We want a king to lead us into battle." I wonder if just the recognition of his own failures set up the foundation for the carnal attitudes that he had about the successes of David. Could have been. We even notice the mention of an evil spirit. An evil spirit. And so David was called to play his harp and minister to King Saul to get rid of this evil spirit. You know, that's exactly what bitterness does in your life. When you allow bitterness to come into your life, it gives place to the devil. In fact, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, neither give place to the devil as a result of bitterness and unforgiveness. Now, a spiritual problem in your spirit is soon going to be evidenced in your actions. And that's exactly what we see in King Saul. In fact, it says that he was prophesying. Prophesying. It's kind of a cover-up to get David to just kind of let down his guard. Isn't it interesting that you can be involved in God's work and still be planning evil on the people that you're angry with? Yeah. Exactly. But now we notice the entrance of fear. The entrance of fear. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, it says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And then verse 28. "And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou." All of a sudden, King Saul begins to fear that maybe David is the one that's going to be replacing him. Fear. You know, the Bible says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked." King Saul had a right to be afraid, because he was not living a life of righteousness with the Lord. And the knowledge that the Lord had departed from him, he had no strength of heart and mind. And so fear. As a result of that, he decided, "I'm going to try to get David out in the front of a battle, as opposed to being the captain of the guard." So he demoted him to be a captain over 1,000, maybe thinking if he were leading his 1,000 men into battle, that he'd be killed, and then he wouldn't have to worry about God elevating him to be the next king. But the people still admired him as he led them from one victory to another in chapter 18, verse 16. Now, at this point, Saul could have chosen to acknowledge his sin and made everything right with the Lord, made everything right with David. But no, he chose to go deeper into sin and further away from the Lord. Now, the question: how will David respond to the molding under opposition? Remember, we said the test of opposition is often given us to see how we will be responding to God's molding. Well, I see that David refused to pick up the javelin that had been thrown at him twice and threw it back. Twice. So he turned the other cheek, and then he turned it again. Isn't it interesting that here is a young man that with just a stone and a slingshot kill Goliath, but he refused to use his stone and slingshot to defend himself against King Saul. He quietly withdrew to let the Lord work it all out without his interference or his bungling. And how important it is for us to respond in the same way. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2, verses 21 to 23, that when we are going through the trial of opposition, we are to close our mouths and follow in Jesus' steps. And there's so many times that you'd love to just publicly stand and rip people apart and tell everybody your story. But the Lord is attempting to mold your character through your interpersonal relationships. Now, how you doing under exaltation? Are you still humble? Is God alone getting the glory? How are you doing under the test of submission? Are you still patient? Is God in charge, even though you are serving under an authority, maybe a teacher, maybe a spouse, maybe a boss, that is very, very difficult to submit to? How are you doing with that test of submission? How about the test of affection? Are you still grateful? Is God enough, even when others may walk away from you? How about your test of opposition? Are you still waiting and praying? Is God a sufficient defense? See, you don't know the future, so live one day at a time. Let God mold you into a man or a lady of God and pass the tests. Having one good friend can help us face whatever comes our way. One good friend. And so others around us are being tested as well. Therefore, we need to be that kind of a friend to them. A positive attitude and wisdom are the best defenses against any enemy. A positive attitude. Well, the positive attitude is God is in control. And how important it is when we recognize that God is molding us into a man or a lady for God. A man after God's own heart, that he will give us tests. Remember, there is no testimony without a test. And so as you face those tests, recognize where you are, recognize how David responded correctly and biblically, and allow God to use those same tests in your life, knowing that one day God elevated David to be the number one man in the entire nation. One day God may elevate you. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So until the next time, we trust the Lord will bless you in an awesome way.